So I'm going to start by reading the whole passage, and then we're going to break it down and look through bits of it. Okay, so listening and doing, that's James 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So immediately those first few verses, very convicting. The words that are used almost like kind of like street preachery in a kind of negative sense. It says, don't talk too much, don't get angry quickly, you're not achieving the righteous life, get rid of moral filth and evil. And I don't know about you, whenever I've read this bit before, I've got really caught up on those bits, and actually I've missed something that it says at the end of verse 21. And actually I think it's really key to how we go about not just listening but also doing. And I think James focuses on it actually in the next paragraph. And so we're going to focus on it a bit and figure out how that we can apply that to our life. So I'll read that bit that you might have missed. End of verse 21, it says, and humbly accept the word planted in you. So how do we do that? How do we humbly accept the word planted in you? So we're going to start by looking, getting a bit wordy, because what word is planted in us, and what's planted? What does that mean? So when we talk about word in a kind of biblical sense, normally it's referring to the book, isn't it? We're talking about the Bible, which is correct, but actually it means a bit more than that. And so I think it's a bit helpful to kind of look at the kind of original Greek word in that, which here is logos. The meaning of logos is word, surprise, surprise, but also reason and plan. So I looked up a kind of definition that talked about how kind of Christians use logos in the context of that. So it says, I'll read it out to you. Logos is the divine reason implicit in the cosmos, aka God, active in creation and in the continuous structuring of the cosmos, and in revealing the divine plan of human salvation, aka the cross, Jesus Christ. Okay, so a divine plan is in us. Something of a divine plan is in us anyway. And actually, we probably, you know, although that sounds like really like big, we've kind of heard it before, haven't we, that in the start of John's gospel it says that Jesus is the word became flesh. So somehow or another the word is Jesus, is God, and somehow some of that, most of it, is kind of found here in the Bible as well, and it's planted in us as well. So if you think about, I think when we talk about planted, I was like, well, what exactly does that mean? And I think it kind of probably has kind of two ways it's mainly referring to. And I think one's to do with creation. We were created in God's image, weren't we? We know that. And so he put something of him in us, something of the divine word in us. And it says in James, actually the verse before I was reading there, in verse 18, it says, he gave us birth through the word of truth. So we were created with something of the word of the divine, however crazy that is, in us to begin with. But also, God hasn't finished creating us, has he? He's still planting stuff in us. As we read the Bible today, as you read it at home, as we listen to songs that have got biblical stuff in them, God is still kind of planting stuff in us. And we'll know that, won't we? Because if you've been Christians for any amount of time, there'll have been something biblical, a biblical truth or a passage that will have really hit you, right? And made, and it's felt like it's gone and it's taken root in you, and it probably forms a big part of what you believe about God and how you live your life as a Christian. So we're being planted with this crazy cosmic hard stuff to grasp, really, to think that we've got something of the word planted in us, something of God planted in us. But I actually think that's quite abstract, isn't it? To think of the word, the whole Bible, there's a lot of words in there, and like God's whole plan from the beginning in us. Ooh, what? That's a bit, yeah, it's abstract, isn't it? And I think actually to try and tackle that a little bit more, I think we kind of need a bit of an example of like a phrase, a godly truth that we can use to kind of think what James is meaning here. So the biblical truth I've picked is that we are loved by God. It's one that we all know, right? We hear in songs a lot. We sing it a lot, don't we? And we hear it probably every week on a Sunday, or hopefully during the week as well. But do we really accept that? Do we really fully understand the depths of God's love for us that meant that he decided on that kind of ultimate human plan of salvation, sending Jesus Christ down in the flesh and sending him into the cross? That's like such a huge plan. It's so massive what God's love does mean for us. But do we really accept it? And do we really let it change who we are and how we act? And actually, I think it's not... It's hard to get our head. It's really hard to get our heads around that. And like, I don't think on a day to day that we carry that full understanding around with us. It's tricky. And actually, we're not the only ones who found it hard. In Corinthians, it says Christ crucified is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. It's hard for the Jews then. It's hard for the Gentiles then. It's hard for us now to really comprehend what it means for God to love us. But sometimes we get a glimpse, don't we? A little bit of glimpse of that kind of that hugeness of God's love for us. And so I'm willing to bet that probably most of us here maybe have had times where, or multiple times maybe, where being told that we've been loved by God, either maybe it was just a song and you just felt really like, oh gosh, you just had that little inkling more of what it meant, God's love for you. Or maybe it was thinking someone saying at the front, or maybe reading your Bible at home and spending time in prayer with God. And sometimes it can be like just that little inkling, can't it? But other times it can be something that's really forceful. When we get that glimpse of what it means to be loved by God, it can hit us in the chest and knock us down to our knees, because it can just be so overwhelming. Now James says in verse 22, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Like it's that easy, eh? So it's not just about accepting it, right? It's acting out. How do we act out of being loved by God? What difference does it make in your lives being loved by God? Well, it should make a big difference, shouldn't it? Let's think of some examples. So if we know that we're loved by God, that we're his children, that we're like fully accepted by God, we're fully secure, we're fully provided for, we wouldn't kind of walk around trying to please other people, would we? We know God, Heavenly Father. We wouldn't feel so worried because we know that God is providing for us the next day and the next day after that. We'd stop seeking our self-worth elsewhere. But it's difficult to hold that, isn't it? And to actually live that stuff out really, truly every day. It's really tough. Another way I can think of is that... when we know how much God loves us, we kind of almost can't help reflecting it to other people, because we know how much God loves other people as well. I've got a little bit of a silly example of that. It is silly, so bear with me. I went to, it's about 11 years ago, I remember this happening. I had gone to a Christian festival in the summer and, yeah, been confronted with all those kind of biblical truths, God truths, and some of it had really sunk in, and I'd had those kind of like Holy Spirit kind of encounter moments like I was talking about earlier. So I came back and I was, I can't remember why, but I was walking up Clifton High Street and I was kind of got like, you ever had that kind of like feel good buzz for other people? So I was in that kind of festival kind of like, oh gosh, I just love other people. And I was like, no, don't just talk to random strangers. That would be really weird. Don't do that. And I was like, generally that buzzed with it. And so I was walking up the street and I came to a zebra crossing and I was like, right, yeah, what? Car stopped, that's great. I walked across and I was like, thanks. I thought, what am I doing saying thank you to this car? Now, maybe you're very polite, more polite than me, and you say thank you anyway to cars. But obviously, we don't have to, because it's a legal obligation, isn't it, for that car to stop at a zebra crossing and let let you pass. You don't have to say thank you. You don't feel like what I'm telling you today is that you need to go and say thank you to everyone, all the cars and stuff, as I've promised. I'm not. But for me, I thought, why did I just do that? And it really was, like I said, a silly example, but it was like a little expression of an overflow of how loved I felt by God. I felt like I wanted to show that love and say this, say thank you. And obviously I've not continued with that kind of haze of goodwill. It's hard to carry that stuff all the time. Most of the time spend your time on your knees, wouldn't you? But you know what? I do still say thank you at zebra crossings. And it's not because I'm maybe feeling that overflow of love, but I like doing it now, and it's become a part of who I am. I am someone who says thank you at zebra crossing. But it is hard to hold though the vastness of those encounters. Like I said, it kind of faded over time. In fact, we kind of forget it. And it's kind of mad, isn't it? Because it's something that's like so huge at the time. You've had this reality of God. You've had like a glimpse of it, and you're just like, whoa, this changes how I look at the world. And then you kind of forget about it a little bit, which is a bit nuts. And actually, I think James is referring to how crazy it is that we forget these kind of encounters and these things that God has taught us. With his mirror analogy. So I'll just read that again now. So verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So obviously in that analogy, James said, isn't that nuts? How could you just forget what you looked like? How would you forget what you look like? You see yourself in the mirror all the time, right? Although probably not so much in James's day. But I think it's the same in that, like, we forget the stuff that God has shown us about himself and therefore about who we are. So we kind of forget what we look like. We forget who God has made us to be. And although James, I think he is saying it is a bit ridiculous, I think he's used it there because he gets it. He's human too, right? I think we can read the Bible and sometimes the biblical writers, we can think they've gone a little bit holier than thou on us. But actually, I think they're human too, aren't they? He will have had the same problems that we have. But actually, it's really quite hard to hold those cosmic realities and to hold on to it in our heads. How do we do that? Kind of how we comprehend the world in such a human way. We pull in the spiritual stuff. It kind of doesn't quite fit in how we're doing our everyday lives. So that's why we end up forgetting a bit. So how can we really accept the word and act out of that if it's so difficult to hold on to those truths? And I think it's hinted at in the analogy that James uses, and then he goes on about it a bit further. So if we were an artist and we needed to do a self-portrait, we'd probably spend a lot of time in front of a mirror or in front of photos of ourselves, really studying what we look like, our reflections. But as Christians, we don't want to just kind of look at the skin level stuff, isn't it? That's not what it means to really know yourself, to really know God. Actually, the mirror that we need to use is the Bible. That's a bit weird, though, isn't it? The Bible is the word, and the word, we need to use the word to reveal to us the word that God's planted in us and highlight stuff. Also, that's not the word, that's other than the word, the kind of moral filth stuff that James said at the beginning, also helps to highlight that stuff. But yeah, like I said, a bit wordy. But yeah, so James does go on to this more in the next verse. Verse 25, he says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So he says you need to be intent and continuous. So those Holy Spirit encounters are really great, and I think they're really like core parts, key bits of our journey, and they're really good to try and go back to remember and to see how God is changing us and making us more like him. But I don't know about you, when it comes to Bible reading, I really love the Bible, and I there's definitely lots of times I've been really intense about listening to what God is saying to me in the Bible. But I lack on the continuous front. I can have periods of continuous stuff, and then like, but continuous, that's like, it's a lifelong thing. I think James is saying, yeah, it's really tough. Those spiritual realities, to really get them to sink in and like be part of who you are and therefore how you act and how you do life, it takes time, and it's not just a, oh yeah, it'll take you 5 years. It's this is something you're going to be doing for your entire life, for us to keep looking in that mirror of the Bible and keep seeing who God has made us to be and calling that good stuff out of us. It's not just a quick look in the mirror. It's there's a saying, isn't there? You are what you continually do, which is all about habit forming. So if we continually read the word, we'll become more like the word. So it makes sense, doesn't it? Even though it is a bit tricky. Another example might be, so I really like sport. I basically like chucking the ball around. But I've done so much of it that it means that when a ball gets chucked anywhere near me, it's instinctive, isn't it, to put your hand out and grab the ball, or duck and dive and get the ball, whichever way it has. And now it's kind of instinctive for me to put my hand up and say thank you as I go past the zebra crossing. But yeah, it's habit forming, isn't it? And, you know, I can see God's done this a little bit with me, but I know he needs to do it more, in that when we've got tough stuff happening in our lives, like that report to do, or how do I deal with this conversation, it's easy to maybe get to the end of the day and maybe reflect back on what, and go like, oh God, yeah, I can really help with that as it goes forward. But God wants us to be knocking at the door more often than that. We want to be bringing him in when we're in those middle of those situations, don't we? So that's just another example of like a habit of bringing God into the everyday, during the day, not just at kind of defined times into the day. And I mentioned, didn't I, that when you look into the biblical kind of reflection mirror, you see more than God has made us to be. It also reveals the kind of moral filth stuff, the stuff that's really tricky and tough to remove and hard to deal with. But we need the Bible to highlight that stuff. And an example might be if we have negative thoughts about ourselves or about other people, reading the Bible more, you might start to realise that you do that a little bit. And then hopefully, the more you read, the more God has that impact on you. You'll start to, when you have those negative thoughts, when they happen, is when you go, hang on, that's not right, you're not from God, and kind of challenge those kind of negative thoughts that might happen. So the final paragraph here, verse 26-27, I haven't really got time to go into too much, but I think that talks more about the kind of, we talked a bit about accepting the word that's been planted in us, and I think that's more, it's about the humbly accepting, and it's really key, because I think pride's a very easy one for us to attach, and then it starts to block the good stuff that God has in us. Definitely one to think about, but I just kind of wanted to end with a little analogy. I'm scooching one in here. Just this morning, I was looking at our apple tree in the garden, and so we moved to Long Ashworth 3 years ago, first time we'd had a house, a garden. Great, we love gardening, don't know anything about gardening. We were generally having a serious discussion about the quality of our soil last night, and what on earth we're going to do about it, and who knows, we don't know, we were making it up. And when it comes to the apple tree, we were like, oh, I don't really know what to do, we've got to prune it, da, da, da. And we had this amazing crop the first year, which is brilliant, but the tree was so big, we're like, we really need to prune it back. And when it comes to pruning the stuff in our lives, it's tricky, isn't it? We were like, do we cut it this far, or do we cut it this far? What do we do? How are we going to go about sorting this tree out? And I think it's maybe similar-ish with the kind of the stuff in our lives that maybe we're like, oh, that's not a good thing, actually. That's not from God. The last couple of years, the tree hasn't done as well. We haven't had that amazing crop of apples. And we're like, did we prune too harshly? We don't know. Maybe it was just trying to recover from that. But you know what? There's so much blossom on the tree this year. In fact, the reason it came to mind was because the blossom's been blown all over the lawn in front of it. And so we're really, really hoping for a really good crop of apples this year. And I think that's kind of what I wanted to end on a little bit, is that what verse 26-27 I think is trying to say is that, like, we start to recognise it by the fruits. It can take a really long time to grow those things, to get a mature apple tree, you know, you're talking decades. And it's the same with us. It takes a long time for us to reach that spiritual maturity. And hopefully we're producing fruits on the way as well, right? But you can really recognise, when that's happening by the fruits. Like I said at the beginning, it's like if you're quick to listen, you can see it, can't you? That's a fruit of someone who's staying close to Jesus. If you're slower to speak and slow to become angry, that's another fruit that you can see. Just going to close this in a little bit of prayer. Lord, help to teach us how we can humbly accept the crazy reality of what you've done for us, of who you are, of how much you love us. We know that this stuff is so hard to like hold in our head as an everyday thing, Lord. That you'd help to kind of train us through your word. Help us to keep coming back to it, keep seeking it. And Lord, I pray that this morning that there's stuff you've probably been working on every individual for probably a while now, or maybe it's new stuff you're working with in people's hearts, Lord. And that you'd really, yeah, help those realities to sink in more, and it'd be more and more how who people are and what they know about you, Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm.